Thanks for talking to me, Penny. This is quite an extraordinary film, Audrey Nepenthe. I said it correctly?
It's Napananka.
Napananka.
Napananka. Yeah, that's it.
Napananka. Yeah, cool.
Napananka.
To begin with, can you, because it's such an extraordinary film, can we first find out a little bit about your filmmaking background and your journey to this film?
Yes, well, my film career began a long time ago in the Dark Ages, but actually it really began very much in La Germano, which is when I first met Audrey 40 years ago. I met Audrey, she was living there, and I began to make more films, videos there, and eventually got some funding through the then Australian Film Commission to make my first funded film, which I made with friends and relations of Audrey's in 1985. So we've got a long relationship, but I went from making that documentary to the film school. I moved from the Northern Territory back to Sydney, where I'd come from, and went to the film school, did a degree. And from then, I've been making films, a lot of them in the Northern Territory.
So predominantly documentary.
Predominantly, I have done some dramas as well, and I trained in both directing dramas and documentaries. But when I left film school, I sort of fell more into producing because it was the beginning of the resurgence, the golden age of First Nations filmmaking. And, you know, I met Tracy Moffat and she had a film she needed a producer. So I thought, oh, I'll do that. And then I sort of met Warwick Thornton and Erica Glynn and produced films with them. And I've worked a lot with emerging entry level sort of, or you know, filmmakers at the beginning of their careers. I've also taught at film schools and so on. But I stepped out of direct filmmaking. I came back to the Northern Territory to head up the Northern Territory Government Screen Agency, Screen Territory. And I did that for a decade to support the strength and building of the industry in the Northern Territory. And then I left that. And the day I left, I started filming this documentary.
Now, this has taken 10 years, hasn't it?
It has from the beginning, from the concept. I'd known Audrey a long time and I got her involved in acting in a number of films. I was in Alice Springs and I was working with Erica Glynn and we were doing a commissioned work for Centre for Appropriate Technologies. And they wanted someone, you know, we needed someone to play a role. And I thought, oh, Audrey's brave. She might do this. So Erica was directing, I was producing, and we got Audrey involved. And from there, she's gone from, you know, strength to strength. She's had roles in like the well-known Samson and Delilah, one of Warwick Thornton's early shorts, Greenbush, My Son Dylan's or Our Son Dylan's Nulla Nulla, Kings in Grass Castles, Rabbit Proof Fence. She's done small roles in many films and really enjoyed that. So then I was thinking about it 10 years ago. I was thinking Audrey's really interesting in herself. And because she's done all this work with cameras, with crews, she might be open to having a documentary about her. And I spoke to her about that, and she was. And so we began filming bits and pieces a decade ago.
Now, I just as a matter of interest, I've noticed that there's been a lot of films with Indigenous people where Indigenous people have wanted a story told, like something very important, the cultural passings on, and especially a message to non-Indigenous peoples, because there's so much that has to be worried about. And I was wondering if the central story of Audrey walking in two paths and the looking after of children is a message that she really needed to get passed on, rather than people glorying in her as an individual. Would that be true?
Oh, absolutely. And to Audrey, family is everything, as it is to many women and many people of many cultures. So, you know, the family aspect of the extended family and caring for the extended family in a way, you know, Audrey's not unique in that, but she's the person I had access to who was willing and a partner in really telling her story. She's been there every step of the way. So it's very much a collaborative documentary.
Yeah, what can you tell us a little bit about that collaboration? Because the images of her as a young thing before she was gathered up and taken into the Western culture is very important, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Audrey has the strength she does today because I think because of her early childhood. You know, she had a childhood surrounded by family that loved her from, you know, from birth. And she's still very connected to stories. She often even now recounts stories about her early days. And I think that's a big part of why she's had the strength to deal with the, you know, the two worlds and the color impact of settlers and colonialism, that she's been had the strength to deal with that because of that strong childhood, which is why Audrey's such an advocate of children being with their families or extended family whenever possible, because she knows that that's important. And it's why she's fought to get children back that have been taken away from her or from other people's families.
That's a very compelling part of this story. Her ability to get people back. It's taken years for her to get people back, hasn't it?
It has, and you know, Audrey's a strong advocate. She's not scared to take a stand on issues that are important to her, and one of them is children and the rights of children and families and you know family support, and that the best systems in society would be supporting and nurturing those family units and extended family units rather than breaking them up, which Australia's had a good history of doing, and you know we're suffering as a society as a result.
Getting back to the filmmaking, I mean, 10 years is a long time, and it is a whole journey between just not just Audrey's story, but her partner's story and the children and the generations of children and how they feel about things. I mean, I was wondering, and it's a featured, you know, like it's only a certain amount of length of time. How did you decide on what to do, basically?
Well, from the beginning of making it, I knew that the family and children were going to be central to the story. And through the editing process, I was very fortunate to work with three top Australian documentary editors. And, you know, working with them helped to distill the material. It's a bit like carving, you know, you start with a piece of wood and you carve away until you have the essence of it. But we could have gone down many different paths. We had over 180 hours of footage and it's cut down to, you know, 86 minutes. So, but that's not unusual for a documentary like this to have a lot of material. But we had to decide what we would leave out. I mean, there's a depth in the material that, you know, we couldn't obviously fit in this length of story, but we did what we thought would tell the best story for the widest audience so they'd take the most away from
So what are you hoping to achieve with this story? Because it's not an ordinary film. This is an important document of an important person within our framework, this and at this historic time too, I'd have to say. So what are you hoping to happen for this film?
Well, I hope that it reaches wide audiences in Australia, which is why we're going on a cinema tour. Audrey and I are travelling with the film to answer questions and speak to audiences. But we've also got an associated impact campaign, which we're just finessing at the moment. But that's about, you know, writing letters to politicians and so on, with regard to rather than child removals, to support families more. Support people in poverty. And also, we're hoping to get support back in for some of the First Nations-led youth programs and diversion programs that are in Central Australia, as well as supporting justice reform. So, we're hoping that it will inspire people, that people will be moved by the film as they were when we travelled around to the many festivals. It started at Sydney Film Festival almost a year ago, and then traveled to other festivals, and audiences seem to want to take action at the end. So we're giving them opportunity to take action, and hopefully we'll have good results in changing people's minds a bit, opening up, because it gives a rare window into the world of as I said before, there are many women and people like Audrey around Australia who live extraordinary lives, ordinary Australians living extraordinary lives. And I think we can learn a lot from them. And hopefully through that, we can bring about some social change. It's actually a lot of, it's hard to put together a documentary like this, and there's a big team that supports it. I had, you know, an executive producer, Rona Glynn McDonald, my daughter. I had co-producers, Tricia Morton Thomas and Rachel Clements. And, you know, I've just been surrounded by some very clever and you know, brilliant minds to help make the documentary. And certainly Audrey, I have great respect for Audrey and her extended family. Like, many of her best friends were translators and consultants on the film, the Walbury women. So, you know, it's been a privilege to make this film, actually, and it's been a privilege that Audrey's family and Audrey have allowed us into their lives for such an extended period to tell this story.
It occurs to me, because I mean, I could ask you a whole lot of things, because, but I'd almost sound stupid to ask, really. But thing about Audrey going to the empty graveyard, effectively looking for her two lost children, reminded me of something that someone told me about a woman who, an English woman actually, who had been at the, when there was the walk-off, you know, the Wave Hill walk-off, and was living in one of the communities there, because her partner was a researcher. But anyway, they lived in the community. And she said that one of the things that she found really odd was that she breastfed her child. She had a child there. And they thought it was really weird that she breastfed their child, because they never thought that any white woman actually gave milk, because they were often the wet nurses. And also she found out that whenever one of them had a child, they'd be sent off, and then they'd come back and they'd never have any more children. And they thought that that was just normal. But what she was twigging to was the fact that they were probably sterilised when they were sent away. And I got a very creepy feeling about that whole thing, the connection between Audrey and her experience of how she was treated by the white medical profession. I mean, maybe there was anything more devious around it, but it was interesting that she always thought that they'd just taken her children away without telling her. Yeah.
Well, that concerned me greatly, and some of the hospital records have gone missing from around that time, so we'll never actually really know what happened. And I'd wondered why Audrey didn't have other children from, you know, birth other children. Because she was quite young and obviously fertile. So we will never know.
No, we'll never know. But this story opens so many. I mean, this is one person's story, and it really tells you about that blindness of Western cultural connection to this country, really, I suppose. That's what this story is about, really, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
That's why I mean, there's so many things to think about in relation to this film. And I was also struck by how, by having this film be so part of their normal life, how the reactions of Western society's values are completely foolish in relation to their life, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's a juxtaposition of very different values, and very different societies. And for somebody like Audrey, who walks the line, you know, between them, it's extraordinary, and it must take a huge amount of energy to do that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'd say so. And also, it's very sophisticated, isn't it? It's much more sophisticated than people understand, really.
Very sophisticated and very, very complex. And, you know, I greatly respect Audrey and people like Audrey who are able to do this. And what drew me to Audrey to make the film about her, and why we've remained friends for so long, is You know, well, I've seen very tragic and difficult things happen to Audrey, but she always is so resilient and has a spring in her step and a joke and just carries on. And I have great respect for Audrey in doing that.
Well, she, in fact, she says to her fellow Santo that whenever he sort of wallows in a negative thought, she tells him not to talk, not to do it, not to do it. Stop it, she says. Yeah,
that's right. To change the subject, to look, every cloud has a silver lining. I'd say is the way that Audrey approaches life, and if she didn't do that, I think it would be much. You know, I think it's a great thing. I think she's a great example to people, to anybody, of how of a life well lived.
Yeah. Also, that it was a great privilege to be taken with the family to their to Mount Theo, their place. That was a very illuminating thing to me. Going back to their centre.
And it's a really important place to them. You know, generations have lived at that soakage there, which was dry at the time we went. But it's, yeah, we were extraordinarily fortunate to be able to film there. That's what I mean when I say I feel so privileged to have been able to make this film with Audrey and her extended family. They've been so generous with their time, with their knowledge, and allowing us as filmmakers to show that to the wider society, to the wider world.